Hey guys, Not a Scent Podcast.
I just did it.
We're in a undisclosed location, and we're just talking some art.
Right.
Here with DJ Justin Croker and film graduate and writer Ryan Joyce. Just shooting some shit about creativity.
Reed Joyce Entertainment.
Up in the undisclosed location that we're at, and just kind of riffing about, just more or less about creating art, because
Dribble Studios, Rejoice Entertainment,
and yeah, here you can talk about
Dirtyville Productions, Rejoice Entertainment, and Struggle Studios.
So we're back at it, and this is for my buddy Cartwright, who's listening in Calgary. I know you actually listen to the podcast. The only people who listen to the podcast are people who don't live around this area. So I'm doing it for you fellers, and yeah. So, Joyce, what's on your mind, man? It's funny, now we get a camera, you're quiet.
Is that all it takes?
Yeah, it's like you just put a microphone in front of him that he
yeah, sorry. Tell me that story again.
Yeah, it's like he's like,
I got a lot on my mind.
Okay, what out of all the scripts you have written, what scripts do you know is gold?
The script that I know is gold is the one I gotta fly to LA to go and talk about on Monday or Tuesday, which is the Sisters Flynn, which Hargrave and I actually originally designed for four brothers, but then the teacher said there's too many four brother.
Well, you actually shows. First start where it started, where the idea came up, because it was pretty funny.
It was at Dylan's, and we started it off as like four brothers that have like a bar and whatever, and the teacher said to me, like, I wrote four episodes in like 3 days because it was just something I knew, right? Like, it was a Stouffville, like, I was like
Cheese Dogs the dad,
it was like Johnny, Jesse Gray, me, you, like all of us, there was a story that could be easily interpreted into it. It was like, here's the bar and all these people meet at the bar. Like, so the bartender is the narrator, right?
Well,
the
so what did your teacher say when you brought it to school? This is what's pretty cool.
The guy loved it that I had for the first three terms. He said, I love this script. You're passionate about it. You know a lot about it. Like, you really have a real, like, hard look at everything that's going on. You know exactly the story. You know the story. He goes, but something's missing. Something that the producers and the executives of TV is missing. Like, there's like, it's great, but chances are they're going to be like, whatever. Right? So then he went away, and a female teacher came in that works for CTV with the guy that did Schitt's Creek. And she comes in and she goes, you need to make the main character a female. And I said, no, I can't make the female character, I'm the main character, a female. I cannot make that one character a female. The whole story is based on them being all the same gender. If I switch one, I gotta switch them all. Yeah. Right? Like, I was like, no one, like, no three brothers would call their older sister and say, hey, come help me get rid of a dead.
Okay, so this is
So I switched them all to girls.
Yeah.
Which also meant that I had to switch other things in the script, like I had to switch the fact that the uncle that thought the one son was his son is now likes the girls instead of hates them, and the aunt hates them because they're girls, right? So, the love interest is no longer a girl, it's now a boy that lives there. And then the other part that I had to change was that the dead prostitute in the first episode.
This is what I wanted to get into. It's like, tell about what is the first scene, okay? Or the
as the episode starts, as the pilot starts, you see a girl sleeping in a bed, sweating, tossing and turning, having a nightmare, right? It cuts to a nightmare.
Large brown to pass around.
It cuts to a nightmare of her running the Boston Marathon And then a bomb going off and her mom getting killed in it and her burning in it. And then she wakes up. Then she wakes up and sees a penis in like sheets, right? She reaches over, she grabs onto it, and she goes, oh, look at you, ready to... What the fuck? It's cold. Guy's dead. It's a dead male prostitute. So she gets on the phone. Then it cuts over, like you do the credits. Cuts over, the other sisters meet at the house, the dad's yelling about something on TV. They all do whatever. The sister call, then the call comes through. The sister goes, what do you mean you want me to come to the motel? Like, I just got here. Like, She goes, you got to get here quick. I have a serious problem. So the sisters show up. They find out it's a dead prostitute in the bed. They got to get rid of it. The oldest sister's like, okay, me and the other oldest one are going to go steal a car. Or van or whatever, so we can move the body before the pimp finds him.
Yeah, because the pimp, like, so at this point, what Ryan's not saying is the sister who killed the prostitute is she's badly maimed, so she's ugly. So
no, she's not ugly. She's just burned, like her body's burned from the bomb.
She's a burn victim. Yeah, so she can't really get dudes. So she sleeps.
Well, she probably could. She just thinks she can't. You know.
Okay.
So basically, where it goes. We're just to, like, just to give the Coles note, because I know you could go forever in character. And
her mental state...
Basically, her the mental sisters state, come and save her.
Yeah, what's the synopsis?
So, the sisters get rid of the body. But in getting rid of the body, the pimp... Hold on. I know this. The pimp finds out. They have to...
He doesn't know about the body. No. Okay, so, anyway, the synopsis is... The oldest sister's mom dies in front of her. She gets burned... She's badly scarred and is psychologically fucked, right? Psychologically fucked, so she does drugs and drinking and, you know, fucks prostitutes. The sisters come try and help her out. She gets arrested trying to steal a car. The other sisters are in the motel room. The pimp shows up. They got to get the body out the motel room bathroom window so the pimp doesn't find it, because if the pimp finds it, they're all fucked. They're trying to do that. The other sister shows up with a car and has a conversation with the pimp. They all end up finding out whatever about the sister getting arrested. The sister gets out of jail at the end, and the pimp is standing on the street corner, sees her walking down the street and goes, you owe me money. Where the fuck's my John? Like, what the fuck? She goes, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Right? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Gator, yeah.
The guy goes, well, you're gonna go
he's
work
to go to gym.
You're gonna go work the street for me then to pay, because we can't find him. She goes, fuck you, and pulls back. As he pulls out his gun and steps back and pulls out the gun, he gets hit by a bus, dies. She robs him for his cell phone and his money and everything. Episode ends.
She becomes pimp. They're gangsters.
Okay. Second episode starts with her with the cell phone ringing, going, what the fuck? Oh, you need a fucking prostitute? No problem. And then she goes to collect the money, and then the Russian mob finds out, because it was their son, that she did that.
So it keeps you clipping, and then, you know, she comes in and takes over.
Right on.
And then the other sisters have to deal with the fact that she's a fucking asshole.
So, like, you know, going back to our original conversation about, you know, if it doesn't matter how that's perceived by people, is that you actually did that. And, like, you know, while everyone was... talking about the validity of that being a good story or not,
it's actually a script, and
that you made that.
Yeah.
So going back to talking about art, is who has the
right?
No, the authority.
Yeah.
To speak on that, and to me is if you're doing something, anything creatively, the authority is in the act of doing. So, and if the person who is doing. They don't have negative outlooks for people trying to express themselves.
Well, do you think in an odd way, though, with people who do not create or who do not make anything, that negative response that they give to you is kind of a motivating factor sometimes? I know it, like, you know, like, it's like someone who doesn't write a script. Or
Sylvester Stallone said that he hates Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hates him with a passion.
Who?
Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, right?
Yeah.
When I went and, like, we were doing the interview and whatever with him, he said, I hate Arnold Schwarzenegger with a passion, but I love him like a brother. And he goes, but I didn't start to love him until I realized that my hate for him made me the action star that I am. Because he hated him so much, he had to become better at what he was doing.
So the other thing is, which you should realize with anything about hate, the only thing that hate destroys, if you hating someone, the only person that destroys is yourself.
If you allow it to destroy you.
Well, no, just by inherently. Because, like, you could hate someone as much as you want.
Hate could drive you forward.
That's not going to affect them.
Hate could drive you forward.
Yeah, no, that's what I was just trying to
say. Right, but I feel like once you actually do sit in those people's shoes, then you'll actually relate to them as opposed to hate.
In general, though, I think it's, like, it's pretty petty for you to sit back and totally rip on a person for fucking trying to do something out of the norm, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think we live in a society that, you know, we glorify athletes and actors and artists
and video stars
and people like that, right? But in an odd way, if you try to become that or do that, well, you're a fucking idiot.
You're an idiot.
People tell you you don't have it.
And then this other thing, which is strange, is like they're not like if you try to do something like that, right? Well, the majority of the people that you're entertaining, like 95% of them,
are the people that told you couldn't do it.
Yeah, and are working those
jobs. And that's
why
it's going back to that quote, which just started off this whole conversation, which I was describing to Ryan, how don't be discouraged, is from Andy Warhol, and he says, don't think about making art. He says, don't think about making art. Just do it. And let other people decide for you whether it's good or not. And in the meantime, while they're too busy deciding, you just make more art.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where we're getting to, is like, that's the essence of it.
Well, even
to... This is the difference between the three of us and the rest of the people that talk about our shit. Is that we stopped caring about them liking it before moving on.
Yeah,
We've been moving on...
And it's about enjoying...
And that's what I told you.
Yeah, no, we don't do it for Hargrave,
that's what I told you about your music. I said, you got to start writing songs. Just start writing more.
Because here's the thing is, if you are only creating to get validation from other people, then you'll never be satisfied.
And you know what? And everyone...
Right, but he needs to start writing more.
Of course.
You're doing paintings. That's awesome. You're creating something, but you need to start...
Ryan, I'm also writing a lot too, though. And doing a lot... actually, the paintings have come from going to Pullen's house, record music, and then I'm done recording it, and I'm like, he's working on the mix and shit, and I'm fucking like, what am I gonna do? He's like, fuck off, like, go do some art.
That's awesome, and it's helping you, because...
You know what I like? It's just therapeutic, and it's just, like, another thing to get out. Like, when I was doing the acting, you know what I didn't, like, I said, the only things I'll act in are your movies.
No, you told me that you didn't want to be in any of my movies.
No, I said I'd only act in your movies.
Oh,
I didn't want to be in anyone else's movies. Because I just, like, just even just the whole thing of it, it's just, like, it's a trust relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I now can finally see why Adam Sandler put the same people in all his...
So they're all his buddies from high school.
That made me think of that, though, is so a lot of times people do that is because the reason why, like, directors and actors work together is because they have a certain kind of connection and trust, you know? So you can take the best performance out of them.
They know the person. Like, they're comfortable with the person's ability.
Yeah, so you can get the best performance out of them.
And their art style. Like Leonardo DiCaprio and Scorsese. Yeah.
And that's what his role was, right?
Wagner did it with
pushing you over the edge, taking the best out of you.
And he was and while he was alive, he was the only guy I recorded with. And you know why? Like, because I... Even when other people wanted to do stuff, it was like, I just felt that thing with Matt because he pushed the most out of me. And it was we could come into a room and we could just...
He could push you but not offend you.
Yeah, you know, we checked egos and all that shit at the door, and it was like...
You know what you got to do now is take the fact that that's what he did when he was alive, mm-hmm, and drive that into what you do now and say, you know what, I need... Like I said, I'm never going to leave you on the floor. Mm-hmm. But I need you to... if you think that, like, your life's going to shit, turn the song on, listen to it, and remember that, like, you've got buddies that are going to pick you up. Yeah, there's going to be times where Justin or I are going to be like, yo, you can't be here because whatever, there's something going on. Like, my
well,
mom.
It's been hard for me to listen to that song for little bit.
Like, to listen to it and find... No, because
you're right.
Remember when Roy and you played Breakfast Television?
Yeah.
And I said to you, I said, dude, that's the song. You gotta play that one. And you said, Roy wants to play this one. And I said, fine, whatever. But then before every commercial break and after every commercial break, they played Don't Leave Me on the Floor.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I said, that song has the message because it was done with heart. It had to do with friends not
anyone
leaving.
Anyone who hears that too, like the Sam, when she saw it, she was just like, oh, do you believe that song about you, like, to me? And I'm like, no, we wrote that before. We were like...
Yeah, you know, to be honest, who I wrote that song about... was I was at your house.
It was May. No, it was...
It was March. It was right around... It was St. Patrick's Day.
We were drunk in my living room. And he was reading through my poems and writing stuff that I had. And he read a poem. And some of the lines... Like,
I went through his whole writing book. And I was just picking out lines from it, right? And this one, the first one that I liked that made me just move forward with it was... You can't kill those who ain't ready to die. I'm like, whoa.
And then all of a sudden he...
So then, like, and then I put, you see the light through the darkest times. And then I saw on your next thing, never hold a grudge.
It was a poem written inside of a...
It was almost like...
It was a story I wrote for an English class in, like, 1996.
Okay.
And then I picked...
And I wrote a poem in it of a guy that was dying. He was it was called The Threshold, and he was crossing the threshold to death, and then his friends were like, we can't have you leave, we need you. And as he was crossing the threshold, he said that to God, or
you can't kill those who are ready to
and
die.
Said you can't kill those that are ready.
Yeah, because there's about
like kind of went, like you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink.
But there was like a
and he turned around and came back to life because he needed to be alive
because he wasn't ready to die.
And then he named it "Don't Leave Me on the Floor."
Well, like, but the thing is, though, right? You had about 300 pages in your book, and that was the one from that one. And then there was.
Yeah,
like
that was the one page that
he
stopped
and
at.
There was a few other ones I picked through. And then, so, I was just going around, and this is when I was first, like, trying to learn the bar chords, tips in, boys. No, right hand, man, not the left. No.
Put that left.
Get it in, man. Fuck the lighter. There we go, boys. Yeah, for where I'm at. So, when I was learning the bar chords, and I was, like, getting that Sublime vibe, and I was thinking of three people in my head. I was thinking of Brad Noel. Actually, four. I was thinking of Brad Noel because I was like, man, that guy was so awesome.
Yeah,
he died of fucking heroin.
Dude, like that then, Boss DJ song is two chords and it's like...
Then I was thinking of Ash from USS because I knew he was in the hospital and he was going through some tough fucking times. And then I was deeply thinking of my friend Johnny, who...
Hermansen.
Yeah, who I knew who was like going to rehab and I hadn't seen him and I really missed him and I was like... He was my brother, and I hadn't fucking...
Yeah, he has a rough...
But let me finish this. And I don't even mention that. This is because this is a part of podcast. And my friend Johnny, and I was really feeling that, and I'm feeling how much I missed him. And then I saw how you and Robin, man, were fucking fighting over some fucking bullshit again, and fucking your daughter's on the floor, like, not wanting you to fight, and she's smacking her fucking hands, like... You know what I mean? And I know Robin was like, it was something fucking, and I had to leave the house. I left the house because she had just moved into that one place beside your parents, and I had to just leave the house. And I fucking left the house, and fucking, I went to the store to go get a drink. And when, you know who I saw at the store getting smokes? Johnny. And just after that, and I was just like, whoa, Johnny, like, him big hug, and he was like, yeah, like, you know, like, it was in rehab, like, I'm out, and like, he looked so good, and I was just like, you know, so like happy to see my friend. And then, like, you know, I went back in there and, you know, hammered out that tune, and like, fucking,
we should do
after that, after, and the truth is, after I came up with that song. I came up with Every Day's the Weekend. Like, I wrote this. I wrote the second part of it.
You know what we should do to wrap this podcast up? We should go listen to that song.
Yeah.
You got your guitar in here.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bust it out.
Let's walk in there right
now.
We're
doing a commercial break here. And, you know, stay tuned. Not a Cent. Thank you. Back here, Not a Cent podcast. That was Fatal Attraction by Most Non-Heinous. And Don't Leave Me on the Floor a bit before that. Yo, get us, throw up a little mix right now before I do this. Yeah, yeah, just throw on a little something like on the ones and twos that we got here. And then I was gonna, and then I'm gonna do an acoustic thing to finish it off. So, some random. How do you feel about the fixes in with the hockey with Vegas? Right.
18 Canadian hockey players taking the Stanley Cup across Canada, province to province.
Partying in
Vegas. How can you be mad about that?
Okay, yeah, I hear you.
How can you be mad about 18 Canadian players on a hockey team going to win the Stanley Cup? That means there's 9 provinces. There's 9. That means out of 18 people, the chances are one of them is from each province. Damn Stanley Cup is, people are like, keep it in Canada. Fuck you guys.
So you don't think Ovechkin's gonna win? Bring it to Russia?
Ovechkin,
fire us up here, Rob.
A is a fucking retard.
Well, Ovechkin? I was gonna say, fire us up a little,
Ovechkin hasn't earned it yet. First of all, here's the thing. The fix is in. Las Vegas owns sports entertainment. By the way, sports entertainment. Not professional sports like, you know, Little League and people playing because they love the sport. No, people getting paid to do something by somebody that is making money because they are getting paid to do it. Las Vegas was
so
made.
So do you think they're
going to
take
built.
A dive?
Las Vegas?
Do you think they're going to win then?
Las Vegas is going to crush.
So you think they win?
Las Vegas is going to take 18 Canadian hockey players.
I think they gave it to Vetchkin.
It's kind of like the Mighty Ducks.
So yeah, the Mighty Ducks.
It was like everyone was Canadian, so every Canadian was like, Anaheim. Because everyone was also on the Ducks.
Well, remember when Brad May... Yeah, because Brad May won it
from
Stouffville.
From Stouffville.
Yeah, he brought it to Stouffville.
As a Boston...
Coming a nut.
Yeah, they were...
For the Ducks. No one's ever even mentioned them before. All of a sudden, they're the biggest
fan. It was the Crossroads, and then the Crossroads shut down not too far after the Stanley Cup came to Stouffville.
Stanley Cup came to Stouffville, and it shut down the next day.
Run. Jordan Mabley drank out of it and shut down the next day.
Yeah, there's a picture of Billy drinking, like, everyone in town. Like,
yeah, that, Bielski's
that
got
was
one.
Probably
Abby,
one.
Abby
it was probably one of the greatest moments Stouffville ever had.
Oh, man.
My daughter, at like 1 year old, touched the cup that year.
Yeah. They're from Stouffville. Anyways, that's our hockey sense. We'll get right back to you. We got a mix coming up here for you.
Vegas is taking
it. So he's saying Vegas is taking it.
18 Canadian hockey players. There's
I'm
going to
say Ovechkin.
There is no... Ovechkin's a Russian and a piece of fucking idiot.
I think because...
He hasn't earned it yet.
There's...
He hasn't earned
Trump
it
yet. Is...
Trump's sucking...
The president.
What's her
Washington
name?
Capitals, no, and they love Russians.
Daniel Storm? No. Stormy Daniels. Jeremy Daniels, yeah, okay, maybe Ovechkin will get
so you're going
only
Vegas.
Because of this. No,
you're
I'm going Vegas because there's 18 Canadian hockey players on that. That would bring the cup to pretty much every province.
Okay,
in
last
Canada.
Thing. So Boston's going to lose to LeBron?
You better fuck right off right now.
Tell you later. LeBron. Not a cent back here. We're going to finish you off. I don't even know if we're finished, but... The styles of DJ Justin Croker. Enjoy. Check out his SoundCloud page. DJ Justin Croker. Enjoy. I'm still waking in the bed. listening to The Good Vibes, a DJ Justin Croker. We're hanging out in our new undisclosed location. We got Lips in the house, aka Mr. Joyce, aka Money, Power, Respect, aka Christopher Kevin Kane. Y'all know me. Dougie Fresh, rap, Mr. Chase and Jane. New stuff with Harvest and Pulley. I'm hanging down with the ones and twos with JC, yeah, taking over for you. Justin Croker just burnt the mixer out. Witnessing some history here on the listen.
Smash the fader so hard it just exploded.
Smash the fader so hard it exploded. Yeah. Alright, I guess I could kick it a little free for you. Oh, sitting back, maybe listening, probably getting stoned. I'm sitting back like a Christian, talking about things that you probably don't believe, like mystical things taking down the beast. Probably download on MP3, that was back in the day when I used to take Napster every day in my headphones and walk with a Walkman and make a CD like I was the best man, the king of the crop. I wouldn't really stop, smoke a lot of weed, back then we called it pot. But then your parents said, what you smoking? I said, what I'm smoking, I just keep on talking. And then it continued to carry on. Met this guy named Harrison. He kept rapping on rap songs and taught me how to rap with Cody and Jordy. Then they know how I went to mid-freeze. They said, Dougie, kinda shitty, you only had flow, but you can kinda get gritty. So I spit out for the dirt in my mouth, kick it right out, cause I'm about to take it out. Hey, we gon' flying high, sending an eagle. Nobody knows, yeah, this game is straight lethal. People want a position, but everybody knows that the people making money straight evil. Don't know a good man without a plan that couldn't take it out another man with a blade right in his hand. Or try to find a bullet, yeah, they try to take it, but they full of it. Yeah, nobody wants to talk shit. Chase and Jane is the only man that says it. Put me on BET, fuck it, they regret it. I blow up positions like I blow up bombs. About to take out like you stick hand to your palm. Hey, that's why they invented porn. They make the most thing for you can sit and be torn. And leave your wife or your girlfriend, never pretend. You're hollow right from the beginning to the end. Finding love that burns. Freestyle, make it wild, yeah, make it to the words. Okay, we got this fader back. Justin Croker back on the mix here for you guys. Not a Sin podcast. Check his stuff out on SoundCloud. You are listening to the sounds of Justin Croker, Not a Cent Podcast. We'll be right back. Hitting ya. Enjoy. Play. Share. Tell everyone about it. Not a Cent. Okay. That last tune, Body, it's a fucking banger. I'm telling you, if you're having parties or whatnot. So here's Don't Leave Me on the Floor for you guys. Don't leave me on the floor. Are you my best friend? Knocking at my door. Look at my body, not my soul. Don't leave me on the floor. Can't kill those who ain't ready to die. Through the darkest times, I'll never hold grudge. Most powerful thing is love. That's just no one. Don't leave me out of love. I hear my best friend knocking at my door. In my body, not my soul. Don't leave me out of flow. See the patterns on the wall. Shame you don't remember them. Life's soaring inside your head. Last thing you remember was you did. But that's just no one. Don't leave me out of flow. I hear my best friend knocking at my door. My body, not my soul. Don't leave me out of flow. Don't leave me. I'm shunned and busted. Don't leave me. Just left for nothing. Need some smiles. Please stick around. Don't leave me. Sacrifice. What's in your life? The truth. Don't leave me out of flow. Are you my best friend? Knocking at my door. Give my body, not my soul. Don't leave me out of flow. Those without sin can cast for stone. We live in a lie. Well, that's just no one. Okay, we are at the final segment of the night. Rye, high, or dry. So, in rye, high, or dry, the guys that I'm hanging out with get to choose rye, high, or dry. So tonight we have chosen high, which is marijuana, and it's in poppers, so, you know, not for the faint-hearted, I'm telling you, or any, if you're weak-minded, poppers are not going to be your game. they're probably going to put you in a couch or at least make you vomit. So, that being said, for our last little bit of the segment, it was nice having you guys on the show tonight. I know you guys have busy schedules and cool kind of things. What's the final thing you kind of want to shoot to the world for Not a Cent? Village point of view.
Stove was the toilet of Canada.
Yeah, see, that's what I was looking for.
The toilet of Canada.
The toilet of Canada. Where the shit ends up.
Perfect. No comment. Well, you know what? Like, the thing about Stouffville.
I don't know why you guys talk about Stouffville so much.
Is it's the center of the universe, supposedly, according to some people. But
everyone thinks of the center of the universe.
It's the Bermuda shit triangle.
What, where, like, Whitby? Yeah. Sutton.
Look, Keswick, Kinmount, Whitby, all them slut towns are all around it, where all these broads are getting pregnant all the time by Stouffville shit fuckers. And then they go, oh, let's move to the country close to the city. Now it's like the gun shop.
So, what, don't you think Stouffville's a little bit more civilized now that they raise the prices?
Are you retarded? Stouffville's got guns now. Like, people are shooting people during a fucking fireworks display.
That's the funniest thing, drive-by shooting in Stouffville. And, like, oh yeah, Justin, we didn't tell you. Some kid was walking at the train tracks, stepped on a needle that was, like, fucked up. Like, some, like...
Oh yeah, Stouffville's a shit toilet of the fucking
universe.
Why
is this gonna... For this dial bottle.
Oh yeah, the dial bottle. Oh, it's here. That's the beauty thing about Toronto, right? You can get that.
You can do that in Stouffville, too.
I didn't have that dial bottle.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so, you know, last segment here. Strong as anything on the Not a Cent podcast. The absolute pleasure to get that lit point of view, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, what's another thing that you want to let everybody know?
Catherine Wynne's a cunt.
You mean...
But not, like, the good one. Not, like, your best friend type one. Like, the one that's, like, gonna ruin...
You mean Kathleen Winnenbacher?
Yeah. Like, Kathleen Charlie Sheen winning. Bullshit.
Or Orville Winnenbacher.
Let's give free shit to people that don't have money in the first place. Those people aren't gonna vote anyway.
Well, you know, I think it's just a joke anyways, because the real people... Yeah, I'll get you a popper here, Lord. The real people who... It don't fucking matter, because the real people who are making money, who use these politicians, they, like...
Put it this way.
It doesn't matter what color's in, folks.
Put it this way. She's giving free dental to people.
I know,
But I got no teeth, and I don't get no free dental.
But at the same time, like, you could get teeth.
If I pay money, and then somebody else will get free teeth, too.
Okay, but, like, at the same time, okay, fuck the dental thing. So that, you know, conservatives are going to win. Like, obviously. Like, I was driving. You know what actually would be a good way to prank someone you don't like on your street? And it's not coming from me, so just... If you got a Kathleen Wynne sign and you put it on that neighbor who, like, you just really don't like, and just put a Wynne sign. People are so angry. You just go tilt back and just fucking...
There's no hole in it.
No hole. You just brew and give her a go. Yeah, I know. You gotta fucking soak yourself up for it. But anyways, put a wind sign on someone's lawn here in Ontario and fucking go nuts. But, like, fuck, man. Green Party should win. All us fuckers should put together and get the Green Party. That'll really fuck people up. Piss them off like how we got Altman in. But, you know, because there's... Really, all the special interest groups at the top are just trying to make money. Oh, Browns, eh?
Those guys are the best.
You're the best, man.
Because they're always like, they got their guard up. Like if you're walking and you're not at a residence,
oh, like they don't chop beers to people in parks and shit.
And they won't answer your phone.
Yeah, they do.
Because bums could have phones.
No, because
because
people will phone them to a park and then someone will just rob them. You know what I mean?
Oh, like straight.
So every time I go down there, and I'm always like clear eyed, like still together, and he's just like, "Hey, what's going on, bud? Like $30? Yeah, like take a fiver all. Thanks a lot. Like no problem." Just
like beer hustling's a huge business, man. Like,
well, dude, it's all about bikers. Like Corey used to run for them, right? It's bikers because they also sell coverage.
Yeah, well, like, but.
But you have to be honest.
Think about
if you just go to them. If you just go to them, like. Oh hey, like you want coke? They just be like, they won't even talk to you.
No, but like,
they won't even give you beer.
But
think about beers.
You can order to your license plate to your car too. If you give them a license plate.
So
number,
I guess now Rye High Dry or Pints. So it's Pints Brown Gatorades. This is the beauty thing about the nation that we live in today, especially in Toronto.
If you have a license plate number, they will deliver to you. I've done it.
Yeah, but I think it'd be like you said, that you'd get robbed. Like, think about even bums. Like,
no,
they can have a
cell
phone.
If you don't have something,
no,
they can call
you
on.
You have to be at a residence.
Yeah.
So it's like, because if you're
a license plate gives them your driver's license.
So I don't know about that.
ID.
I don't know about
I've
that.
Done
that's
it.
Sketchy.
I don't know
about
that,
dude. In Etobicoke.
But I've definitely seen
Centennial Park.
If you're like walking and they're like, "Where are you?" I'm like, 1156. So like, are you there right now? I'm like,
yeah.
No, but I'm walking. They're like, call us when you get there. Because like they're not.
Yeah,
and
no.
Just showing up, or also too, I've had friends who've left them downstairs, like
and
waiting.
Then,
like,
then you're cut off.
You get cut, man.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, you have to be.
What was that magnet I got from that guy? It was like, dog deliver. It was like doggy daycare, but it was.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not doggy daycare.
It's in here. We got it on the fridge.
Yeah.
We
should shout that guy's number, but you know, like.
No,
he's a beauty. No, we don't want to ruin our fucking.
No, I got a different person. There's someone in the east, and Corey used to run for them, and they were bikers.
Yeah, like, well, obviously, like, but the hey.
Best way to do it.
No, of course.
In the city, people are partying late.
No, they've got a
beer store closed at 9.
They got
like,
a bunch
you're
of guys.
No.
They got a bunch of guys. They just like get caught for free.
Yeah.
The one at Young and Dundas closes
at
11.
Third, okay. I would pay what $15, so they double the price.
They double the price,
and I always give them a fiver
for pilsners. Like, yeah, because you gotta like you want to keep a good
so
rapport with
bucks,
the guy.
But it's double,
right?
It's double. If whatever.
But
you're
like
getting,
if you're at the bar
like a,
though,
like a two six.
This
bar,
is $30
same.
Bucks. This is $30
a
for
two six is $60.
But if we're at the bar right now, this is $30. This is $25.
A two six
bucks.
$60.
$16.
Three beers is $16.
Yeah, $16.
Ridiculous.
So it's like
at the bar.
Yeah. But you always have to give a... Oh, not at the bar. I mean, if you just bought these.
Yeah.
If you just bought these from there, it'd be like $15.60 or something.
Six packs
of these.
Of those is less than 14. Because Budweiser
so
is 14, 15.
More than double. I just spent
it. But, yeah. Well, when you were in Australia, could you buy pints and just walk out with them from the bar?
No, you'd have what they call takeaway.
Can you do that?
Which blew my mind.
Like you could
be
right.
No. There's a separate part of the bar, so it's like there's a part of the bar that's kind
same
of cornered off. You can walk on.
Yeah.
But we'd be sitting there and look, man. She'd be like, "Hey, you know, drinking, fuck. It's all right, you know." He's like, "Let's go back to the fucking gaff, you know. Have a fucking quick one." He's like, "Yeah, mate. Like, hey, garçon. Yeah, we'll get 6 takeaway." And I'm like, "Takeaway?" And the guy comes to the table and just gives me.
He's like, "Here's 6 pints, bud."
And I'm like, and he's like, looking at me, like, "Yeah, takeaway, mate." Guy,
like you fucking retired?
Yeah. And I'm like, "Is it more money?" He's like, "No, it's the same price." He's like, "It's fucking
same
government,
price
government owned, mate. It's fucking regulated." I'm like, fucking VBs all day.
Winnipeg's the same, dude.
So but like it was that's where you get beer from. They don't have a beer store. You walk into the
that's
bar
how
and,
Winnipeg,
and someone's at the bar and you can see them.
Can you buy pints at all hours then?
No.
Well,
like
they do
as long
close.
As they're open.
Oh yeah, so when
so this is what they have there too, it's a lockout. If you want to stay open until 6 in the morning, you can. But you can't get in anywhere after 2. So a lot of times people just go, when everyone's gone, they close it up.
Right.
But if people are still there, they keep it going.
That's fucking
so
crazy.
So if you walk past a bar and it's still kicking,
they
you can go in there and just take away a fucking 2. You buy a whole case. You walk out there with 2-4.
That's so turbo for after parties.
Dude.
They're probably so lit.
Because
everybody's
exactly
like, that's the one dude. Thing. That you always forget about is like fucking having a stock fridge for the after party.
Dude, I remember coming back from Australia and just being like, there's no last call, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we came back and it was like, we went to the government because my friend's like, yeah, now we go to like Braves. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we like go And, you know, I was just doing my thing, vibing, you know.
Yeah, Australia raves?
No, here in Toronto. Sipping on a beer. We probably got there about one. I had, like, one beer, ordered another one.
And then
I went over to, like, ask for a beer. And they're like, no, we're done, like, 20 minutes ago. And I'm like,
what the fuck after party is this?
And then I was like, this, no, it's immediately, a rave. Immediately, yeah. I'm like, where's the drugs at? And there's a million people. Like, I just
I got drugs, but you can't have a beer. Like, it's fucked.
It's way worse.
Yeah. Yo, here.
Dude, I used to love raves.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never been to.
That's what, even at this place in...
that's why I was surprised that...
In Australia, the club was called Family.
Yeah.
And, like, on Sunday nights, we'd go there, and they would stay open all night, and you could drink, but we'd go there, and, like, we had, like, these fucking white Mitsubishis, and we were just, like...
Just wasted,
so
yeah.
So all you would order is a water. Water was, like, $9.
Yeah.
And if you go into the bathroom to try and sip the water, only hot water comes out.
No way. So you couldn't even...
You couldn't even.
Oh, what motherfuckers. Yeah, what? That's so smart.
Because they'll stay open all night and just sell you $9.
So, like, you think...
And that's better than booze. That's a bigger markup. So they'd stay up all night just chugging people water.
So if you tried to go get water, the water in the tap was hot, was piss warm. Like, you'd be drinking toilet water. Fuck me. That's so joy genius.
Gas prices, right? Driving their car, gas prices?
Yeah.
Water costs more per liter than gas does.
Oh, you know what, actually? You know what is
the most... Nobody's bitching about the fact that they have to pay more for a liter of something that they need to live.
I was listening to this. You know what the most valuable thing in the world is?
You run your sink, and it costs you more per liter than it does for gas.
You know what the most valuable thing in the world is if there's an Armageddon?
Your water bill shows up every month.
Yeah, right.
Seeds.
Right, you rent so you don't get the water bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's part of your hydro, but I doubt it. Because usually renters have to...
I think hydro is just the electricity.
Yo, seeds and water, if there was an Armageddon and the world ended, like, money would mean shit. So, like, if you have seeds... Yo, like, they'd be the most valuable thing, like they said. Like you should, like, have a bunch of seeds.
You know, if you have anything, any vegetable or anything that is, like, real, like, actual plant in your fridge when the world goes to shit... You take all of it. You throw broccoli into water in a like a Ziploc baggie.
You're fucking broccoli.
And you've got broccoli freaking growing out of the ground.
Yeah.
No, this. Did Jamaican broad show you this?
No.
It's jerk broccoli.
No, well, you do that with anything. Like, that's how you clone things, right? You, like, snip it off and you dip it in water and it regrows its, like, roots and then you plant it.
Right.
Well, they always said that, man. World War III be fought over water, right?
The only people that are going to survive the next 20 years are going to be the people that actually know how to do things on their own.
I don't know, man. I think it's going so technology that everything's going to be in...
Everybody's
going to... think, like, it's all the technology's going to save us.
Okay, what I... No. It's not because save us. It's fucking us up.
Crash it.
No. Right.
You don't think... I know for a fact... Right,
I agree that we need to be able to be fucking... self-sufficient, but what I think...
Right, I'm telling you right now what's going to happen in the next, like, what your buddy was talking about, the market crash, it's not just a market crash. It's going to be a whole humanity crash, like, where the, like, everybody...
I think they're going to have everyone in boxes, just like how you can get your food delivered to you, your girlfriend delivered to you.
They're trying to get us to be batteries.
No,
like,
so you don't
Matrix.
Go anywhere. So you
Remember
just
in
sit
the Matrix?
In your room. Yeah.
Where they're all, like, just... cocoon.
On that note, the pints are starting to sink in and the pop is... Thanks for tuning in, Not a Cent. Rejoice Entertainment. What is it? At Still Little King. Instagram. Croakers is at Justin Croaker on Instagram. And at DJ Justin Croaker on Spotify. Y'all know me. Me and Pulley are doing a new thing. It's called Harvest and Pulley. HRVSTPULLIE. It's a little harder to get to. But got a really cool Instagram page dropping for, like, all the artists that we know locally. I know the first thing Eric's dream was of this podcast, which is still, like, we're pushing towards that, and maybe I'm pretty sure Eric will venture out on this, is just interviewing artists. Right now I just got fucking anybody who's kind of creative is going to come on. We're just going to talk shit and it's going to be random. No platform, just like my life, just chaos. But just stay tuned for that one. That's coming out. Chasing Jane has two new songs, a diss track to DJ Rupp, because I was on BET. You can go on the BET YouTube and Instagram. You can see my fucking dumbass. Didn't do too well, but whatever. Fuck, I got there. So this guy, you know, kind of trolled me a little bit. So I made a diss track back. This guy's like junk rap, but you know, that's not what it's about. But my main thing is O Face is going to be dropping soon. So it's going to be on Spotify. And that was the last tune Waggy helped me with. So thanks to the crew for coming through. And like I said, I gave you guys their Instagram handles. And once again, Justin Croker. Check him out on Spotify. He's got some sick mixes. My favorite is back when Deep House was deep. On the SoundCloud, it's what is it, Justin Croker? What is it?
Justin Croker, yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to find. You'll see him. You'll see his beautiful face. My favorite mix is back when Deep House was deep. That's my fuck mix.
That one just came out 2 days ago.
Oh, what was the new one called?
Hearsay Volume 9.
Hearsay Volume 9? Oh, yeah.
So
fuck.
10, I'm done with the Hearsay.
Yeah, I remember with the Hearsay. That was awesome.
It'll be 10 of them.
10.
Almost, I'm 10 of them.
Holy fuck. Tune into the Hearsay. Rye's got some... you got your scripts and shit coming out in your movies, right? You're doing some music videos. If you want to be hit up for any creatives visually, hit Joyce up. He's doing that, and he's making some nice moves there too. So we'll talk soon, and the rest of yourselves, go fuck yourself. Tell you later. DJ Justin Croker, just a little other taste for you. Not a sin. Lips is passed out, that's why he ain't talking.
must be told. This is a story that
okay, yeah. I guess I gotta drop a free to these beats. We were cutting you off before, but not to the end. True to the friends, I smoke again. Dolts alive when you enter the room. It's like you're going up north on mushrooms. Hanging out with the best of the bell. Everybody knows, shout out to Mel. Brad, yeah, Prince of Punch. I'm hanging out with the King of Punch. He's on a 4-day special, can't really eat. Every time when you can't really sleep. And Erevin try to make you money for nothing. But everybody starts to say something. We made that place a club, now it's bumping. Nobody really gives it any loving. But we don't even give a fuck. We under school like McLovin. Getting fake IDs and going into places we shouldn't be. A VIP. I'm probably getting kicked out of the house, but the noise is getting loud, so people are coming out. And without a doubt, we spitting out till you punch out your mouth, but you got no teeth. Like GSP said in every single time, can't beat. I meet defeat, I murk on beats like DJ Croker, I walks on Queen Street. People I want, bombing a feed. Yeah, see them all rock off, but people want me. Hate on me. Yeah, hate it on Dougie, but it's not really me. Not a cent is the way that we live. Getting up all night and the way that I spit. Hey, I'll break it down to the bits. Trust me, kid, this is live as it gets. Oh yeah, feeling that flavor. He's giving us a little encore for this. We're a lucky crowd. Where's your brown G's? Where your friends at? Fill up the truck. Remember, I don't drink browns when the sun goes down. Don't drink browns when the sun goes down. Word of advice, not a cent. We got Ron Burgundy in the house right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're out thou, Shakespeare tragedy. Look for the booty, get over the fact. Are you a tranny, wearing granny panties? Real name's Illin, cause you always walk in. Give the D later when you go into buildings. Pee in your pants, you see yourself a chick. When she's a six. Zero tats, but you should really have a dick. On your lips, roller coaster. Arrested, you probably wanna get tossed in jail to get molested. The hardest part of being a fruit booter is telling your parents you're gay, not a loser. All right, peace out, ladies and gentlemen. Not a Cent Podcast, thanks to Justin Croker. You can tell the brown G's are getting to me, but I don't know. Tell you later.